Blog Talk Radio.
April showers already. It's raining on some people's parade, to say the least. Among the political animals, of course, is presidential candidate Donald Trump. Now, if he is elected, would he be the first president who has Swedish ancestry? Now, the majority of American presidents have English, Scotch, and mostly ancestry. There is Irish, of course, Scotch-Irish. And then, of course, we had the Germans, which would be Dwight Eisenhower. And, of course, Warren Harding, there's a lot of controversy about this, who was our first president who had African blood. And, of course, when he was accused of this, and Woodrow Wilson wouldn't follow up on it, he said, "I can't help it if some of my ancestors jumped over the back fence." And so, if true, then Mr. O, Obama, who is listed in some resource books as African Kenyan. Of course, his mother was American. He would be the second president who had African blood ancestry. Talking about families, the Gandhi family in India, three politicians, Mahatma, Indira, who was actually the daughter of Nehru, and then her son. All three of these people were victims of assassination. Mahatma Gandhi was assassinated by the assassination was set up by a homosexual who was opposed to the partition of India and Pakistan, or setting up of Pakistan. And then, of course, Indira Gandhi was prime minister, and she was assassinated in her garden by a Sikh. And then her son became prime minister, and he was assassinated in 1991. And it was believed that he was assassinated by a Tamil, which were the rebel group in what was Ceylon, which is now called Sri Lanka. And apparently he was blown up by a bomb. He had married an Italian woman, and we don't know what the remainder of the family, I guess, three strikes and they're out. Talking about other murders, this is the anniversary of the murder of Big Jim Colosimo, who was the mafia head in Chicago. Al Capone reportedly set this deal up. Also linked to Al Capone was Saul Alinsky. When I worked in the federal courthouse in Chicago, when I was a student, a lot of stuff about Al Capone came up. For instance, Elliot Ness had very little to do with anything with the indictment and conviction and prosecution and conviction of Al Capone. It was Colonel Robert McCormick who asked his friend Herbert Hoover to send in a special squad from the U.S. Treasury, and it was a little Jewish accountant named Elmer Irie, and a special prosecuting attorneys who came in, and they got a hold of Al Capone's ledgers, his books, and found out that he had evaded income tax. So that's how they got him. Elliot Ness had virtually nothing to do in his so-called untouchables. This was another media fiction by Walter Winchell. I remember during the 50s we would see it on TV. Now, another murder, boy, we have a lot of murders today. Asante, this woman, black power person from New Jersey, had killed a New Jersey state policeman. And she was prosecuted in a New Jersey court. And when she was convicted, she then turns around and files a removal to a federal court. Now, first of all, removal is a not often used, but it is a procedure where either a plaintiff or a defendant will remove a case from a lower court that they claim has no jurisdiction over the person or over the subject matter, such as a state court having jurisdiction over a U.S. military person when the military has not given the state permission to try that military person. This happened in the Steve Mary case. Anyway, what this woman did was she filed a removal to a federal court and they dismissed because she had already been convicted. The removal, either by a defendant or a plaintiff, has to be done before judgment is issued by the lower court or the court which had no jurisdiction or which they claimed had no jurisdiction. Now, Bill O'Reilly, as I recall, a couple of years ago, was the only media person to have brought this up on the air. I understand the New York Post brought it up today. So the question is, will this woman, she fled to Cuba, as a lot of the leftist terrorists did, and will she face extradition, or will Obama ask that she be, or demand that she be returned, that she be extradited back to the United States to face murder and flight charges in a New Jersey court? Now, another murder case, it's believed to be a murder involving Vandersloot, that son of the Dutch lawyer on Aruba. It is believed, according to my sources, that he did kill her. That's a credible allegation. And also the question is, a lot of young women and maybe some young males who travel to the Caribbean, are they safe from sexual predators? Now, Senator Blanche Lincoln, she's no longer a senator from Arkansas. She did bring up in a committee in the U.S. Congress, brought up the issue of Americans being kidnapped and sold into the flesh markets in the Middle East, and then all of a sudden it's disappeared from the news headlines, or not headlines, but from the news. But RT, the Russian TV network, has been broadcasting the experience of a young woman whose family was victimized by ISIS. They killed all her six brothers and her father, and her and her sister were sold into sexual slavery. She managed to escape, but she's in Paris right now, and RT is talking about what's going on with all these other women. Of course, when we bring up the issue of the violations of these Muslim extremists, we're called Islamophobic. It's phobia when people are afraid to raise the issue about the violations of other human beings, no matter what their color, caste, or connection. Now, also among the other birthdays today, or I should say deaths, we had Thomas Clamer, who was the successor to the Archbishop of Canterbury, and he was a Protestant. And when Queen Mary, the eldest daughter of Henry VIII, she succeeded to the throne after her younger brother died at 16, Edward, she decided to try to restore the Catholic faith and bring England back into the Roman Catholic faith and under the spiritual guidance of Rome. And, of course, Cranmer was an Anglican. He refused to recant, and he suffered burning at the stake. And of course, Big Jim Colosimo was murdered, and Al Capone was implicated in 1921. And then, of course, by 23 or 4 years later, Al Capone was in federal prison, and after he got out, he died of syphilis of the brain. He's buried in what is called the Gangster Boot Hill in suburban Chicago. It's called Mark Carmel Cemetery. And, of course, the archbishops and bishops and cardinals of the Chicago Archdiocese are also buried there. Interesting place. Among the other deaths today, a lot of actors. Sir Michael Redgrave, his daughter, one of his daughters, Vanessa, is a leftist and involved in all these leftist causes. Also, there's his other daughter, Georgie Girl, Lynn Redgrave, his famous acting family. And then he had one son, Corin, who was featured in the movie about Sir Thomas More, A Man for All Seasons. Robert Preston, who was a music man, he died of cancer. John Ireland, who came here from another Canadian, he died today on this date. And then McDonald Carey used to do a lot of TV, great voice, and had quite a nice aquiline feature, as I recall. And, of course, Leo Fender, the famous guitar maker, died on this day. Among the events today, we had Peter the great Russian Tsar, who dragged Russia into the Western sphere and civilization. He started his grand tour of Europe, and of course, everywhere he went with his retinue, they raised hell, got drunk, destroyed stuff. But he also learned about all the accomplishments of scientific advancements in the West and brought that back to Russia. He is also the father of the Russian Navy. In 1871, Henry Stanley, who was an orphan, who also was in the American Civil War, he became a correspondent and he went to Africa looking for Livingston, and he did find him. Famous movie with Spencer Tracy. In 1891, after 20 years, the Hatfields and the McCoys finally buried the hatchet. I shouldn't say that. The feud was a 20-year feud over the theft, the alleged theft of a pig. And, of course, they finally settled the feud when a Hatfield married a McCoy. Also on this day, we had, in 1917, the first woman became a Navy petty officer, Loretta Walsh. This may be the first mutual fund. In 1924, I don't know how they survived 1929, but Massachusetts Trust set up the first mutual fund in the United States. In 1947, President Harry Truman, among the things that he did, he desegregated the armed services. He also signed an executive order 9835, which required all federal employees to sign a loyalty oath to the United States, or swear allegiance to the United States. And then in 1965, Martin Luther King started his march from Selma, Alabama, to Montgomery, Alabama. And, of course, we know how bloody that was. Now, I also wanted to bring up the fact that we wanted to get into it when we were talking about the Irish last week with Patrick Butler. The three of the chief justices of the United States were all Irish. Roger Taney was also born on St. Patrick's Day, I think in 1777. Edward White was a Confederate from Louisiana. He was a slave owner, and he was a Catholic, Roman Catholic. And then the current Chief Justice, John Roberts, is Welsh, Irish, and I think Croatian. So there. Now, currently we have three Catholics on the U.S. Supreme Court. We have Roberts, Alito, and Thomas. Thomas studied to be a priest, although I'm not quite sure what his religion is right now. And, of course, we had the great intellect who just died, Antonin Scalia. Now we have three Jews on the court, or people of Jewish ethnicity. That is Kagan, the woman. There is Breyer, and there is the other woman. God, her name escapes me. I thought she should be dead. Now, if this guy Merrick Garland gets confirmed, he will be the fourth Jewish liberal on the U.S. Supreme Court. We don't know if that's going to happen, and we don't know if he practices his faith. His family came from Russia and settled in the Chicago area. I think it's Lincolnwood. which also, as I recall, a lot of mafia lived up there. So that's going to be very interesting if this guy gets confirmed. Now, I understand that he was involved in the TWA 800 controversy and also was involved with Jamie Gerlach, a very controversial Justice Department official involved in a lot of cover-ups. And then he did say something interesting in a speech I was told today. I haven't heard the speech, that he said judges should not be making law. They're supposed to interpret law, which is what I learned when I was in school. And, of course, we have, except this doesn't apply to political judges like we have here in California, especially in San Francisco. In fact, the whole gay marriage thing started with, I think he's in the closet, a guy from Massachusetts. And, of course, I think he's German ethnicity and claimed to be a Roman Catholic. And then we had Newsom, who was Irish, a Northern Irish Catholic, according to what his father told me. And, of course, he started the gay marriage thing at the City Hall. And then you had Jerry Brown, who went along with it, who studied to be a Jesuit priest, although a lot of people think that he is another one in the closet. So what is interesting is you see a lot of people who embrace the agenda. And, of course, the question is, if they embrace the agenda, are they engaged in the practices? So that what's interesting is, we have seen people who claim to even have fathered children, have families, but they're one thing in the daylight and another after dark. So you're going to see more of this. Hormel is the best example. He fathered five children, I believe, and of course, then he decided he's going to come out as gay, which he has been over these last few years. Excuse me. So this is one example. There are other examples of guys especially wealthy men, who decided they wanted to try a different flavor. That's the way it was described to me. And there are also women. And, of course, women who marry gay men are known as beards. Men who marry lesbian women are known as Merkins, excuse me. So I'll explain that another day. Now, I'm going to play another excerpt on Patrick Butler's, our interview that we did on the Irish, and I like to twit them every now and then. Let's see what you're going to play here. Of course, we have the gun violence in Chicago. Let's talk about Chicago corruption. I think everybody seems to think that only corruption is in Chicago, and of course with Al Capone, the mafia isn't as strong as it used to be, but let's play a clip from that interview. This is from the archives.
Mayor, a guy by the name of Echo, who, after 10 years, close to 10 years of legal maneuvering, pled guilty to involuntary manslaughter because he got into an argument on Red Street with a guy who was about 5'4" or 5'2". Him, knocked him down, causing the guy to hit his head, go to coma, and die a few days later. If it had been anyone else, the guy would have been promptly arrested and locked up. Because of the fact that we're doing the work and all, found that this guy was a few of Mayor M. Daley, and the state's attorney did not want to prosecute. In fact, they lost some of the paperwork.
How convenient.
Oh, very convenient. The guy was able to literally get away with murder until finally such a clamor that 2 weeks ago he pled guilty to involuntary
manslaughter.
And
the lesser.
What do you get for kill person in Chicago if you are the nephew of the mayor of Chicago?
Right.
What do you get? You
get 60
days. You get 60 days.
In Cook County,
Jail.
Oh, you go to Joliet or
Joe? Then you no, because you only go to Joliet if you're sentenced to more than a year.
Oh, okay.
If it's a year and a day, you go to Joliet or some other place. But in this particular case, he had 6 days in jail. He has not yet begun serving a sentence, but I guess that's at everyone's convenience. And in America, and only in some parts of America, does a guy get to make an agreement with the courts as to when he would go to jail?
We had a similar case. A guy got 30 days. reporting to San Quentin. Juliet is your state bill, was your version of Quentin?
Yeah, now Juliet itself, the old Juliet has been closed. Mm-hmm. They may turn it into a museum or something like that.
Hide all the devices.
But Stateville is still the penitentiary for this part of the state.
Okay.
We have several other institutes.
Mm-hmm.
We have, for example, at Menard, which
mm-hmm.
is downstate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Menard has, until they abolished the death penalty here in Illinois, Menard had what was known as the Treatment Diagnostic Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did this John Gacy there?
Gacy was sent there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We know both.
And they, you know, really.
Yeah. No intended. So finally cooked, so nobody's shedding any.
Well, as a matter of fact, yeah, some speculation too, you know, where he went and when the chaplain was leaving the prison, there were still some demonstrators pro and con inside the prison after the execution. And someone asked, hey, Father, where do you think Gacy went? And he put down. Now, priests don't usually say that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the party line to say we cannot speculate on what was going on in a man's mind,
mm-hmm.
and we cannot speculate, you know, on the massiveness
mm-hmm.
Of mercy. I mean, that's what you would say.
Mm-hmm. Now, isn't it getting back to St. Valentine's Day is coming up, and we have the infamous whiteout at the warehouse on North Street. Do Chicagoans and people in Illinois remember that horrible massacre?
Oh, yeah.
Or do they prefer to forget?
No. The city prefers to forget it. Like the city prefers to forget. The establishment prefers to forget that like they prefer to forget the Biograph Theater.
John Dillinger.
They really,
mm-hmm.
You know, the public still remembers it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of reference to the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Tourists want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
They're disappointed. The old warehouse is still there.
I understand the last time I was in Chicago, I thought I saw an affordable housing project there.
Well, it was a senior housing project.
Oh, but I mean, you know, one of the, wasn't the warehouse.
No, the warehouse on the wall was, bricks were taken
mm-hmm. I understand.
And sold to a guy in Canada.
Right, over, yeah.
Yeah, who put it in a bar.
Yeah.
And, it was like right outside the mail room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was kind of the shoe gallery.
More. We will say no more. Now, I understand. You remember, we're at the dear old Merrill.
Yes.
We would watch The Untouchables, which I call The Untouchables.
Yeah.
And when I worked at a courthouse, I did meet some of the supporters of that period. Judge Wilson was dead.
Yep.
And I asked about the great LES, and they kind of sneered. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand a book come out. I have seen it. It was supposed to be an expose on LES that he really didn't do all these things that Walter Wood claimed in that piece of fiction.
Well, true.
Mm-hmm. And a couple other movies at it.
There were movies that made LES to be something he was not. He
never was, either.
No, but they, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes... And a society needs heroes. They pick whoever's convinced.
Well, I understand. I did my research.
Okay, that was an archival interview I did on Pat Butler. We're going to end with our usual politics and poker. And we will be back Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Excuse me, 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And we'll be updating some things on Aruba. We located some pictures of apparently what's going on or what had gone on down there was apparently some of these people connected to Vandersloot were actually pimping for an adult male. So it's quite interesting. We'll get into that on Wednesday and Friday. So one of our usual politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you $5. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Mike,
why? Case 2.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear.
We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace Bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where
is it? I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
I suppose we should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks.
Poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll call.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Pride, I hope when you think of it, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker. Play for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, running neck and neck.
Peter Paul Vizzolo, we'll be back Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Good night, stay safe, and April showers are here.